Hello, and thanks for joining us for Market Sense. I'm Colleen Rolfe with Fidelity. Inflation, interest rate hikes, and recession concerns continue to weigh heavily on investors. How long will this last is now a persistent question as many people watch their portfolios and try to stretch their paychecks and wallets. We're in a bear market, meaning the stock market has declined 20% or more from its peak. But what does that mean for you and your money? Today, we're going to break down bear market basics and dig into ways to pivot and plan for the unexpected in your investment strategy. To help guide the conversation, Urian Timmer is here with a big picture view of the latest world news, market conditions, and what they mean to us. And Leanna Devinney joins him. She'll share how she and her team help build and update their financial plans to stay on track with their goals. So, hello to both of you. Great to see you.
Hello, great to be back.
Yeah, nice to see you all again.
All right. So today is Tuesday, July 12th. Many of us are returning to a full week of work and a post-holiday or maybe vacation glow, but we're also coming back a little lighter in the wallet. I know I've been feeling it, that pinch of inflation every time I go to the grocery store or the gas station, unfortunately. And I'd love to quickly ask both of you how you've been seeing inflation in your own lives. So, Leanna, let's start with you.
Yes, and I certainly have. I was fortunate to have some time off, and I had my family up. We actually had eight adults, three toddlers, two babies staying with me, my husband, for a couple weeks. And we did a ton of day trips and planned a big barbecue. But every time we'd bring our SUVs to the gas station, $100. We have an annual fourth barbecue and saw a significant increase in prices from last year. So many of our clients are also sharing stories like this about that purchasing power of their money, feeling it. And Urian, I don't know, what about you?
Yeah, so I've been on the West Coast, and I maybe people don't know this, but I lead a camp at Burning Man, and Burning Man's going to be happening in late August. So I spent the holiday weekend in Reno, Nevada, with 12 of my camp colleagues, going through two shipping containers of all of our kitchen stuff because we cook food for the artists at Burning Man. And we see the same thing, right? So trying to rent a generator, for instance, is almost impossible. Just buying propane tanks for our kitchen, they're either back ordered or they cost three times what they normally do. So things that us as camp leaders or TCOs, as we're called, that normally take for granted, securing fuel and tanks and tarps and stuff like that, is very logistically challenged. So getting the stuff and then having to pay very high prices for them. So it's happening everywhere. But it's interesting. It's not preventing people from traveling. You look at the TSA numbers, they're at the highest since the summer of 2019, even though, as we all know, airfares are way up, but people are still doing it. So I think people have to hold their nose, but it hasn't really curtailed economic activity too much at this point.
Yeah, that's great to hear, Urian. And I like that you're both having large groups of people and trying to feed them in these times. So, Leanna, I know you're going to map out ways that you help clients look at and plan for inflation through a long-term lens a bit later in the show. So, Urian, I've heard you, I'm going to start with you. I've heard you say inflation may have peaked. It's hard to digest right now, as we've all just said. So, tell us what you mean and help us understand what you're seeing in this bear market.
So what we've seen over the past 6 months, of course, is that the hits kept coming, right? We thought that the supply chain bottlenecks that caused the initial bout of inflation after the lockdowns, that those would come and go. And in a way, they did to some degree. But then we had, the Russia-Ukraine war, which created supply chain bottlenecks in a whole other set of commodities, grains, oil, gas, not so much shipping containers. And then, of course, we had the lockdowns in Shanghai, which has a zero tolerance policy against COVID, created more bottlenecks. And so it's been one thing after another. But if you look at, and if we look at, for instance, the CPI report, right, the consumer price inflation report, those are the numbers we all see. But those are backward looking, right? When you look at the inflation number, it's for the last 12 months. And so when I say that inflation is peaking, that what I'm saying is that the market is believing that inflation is peaking. And a way to show that is in this chart. It just shows a long-term expected inflation rate that's embedded in the bond market through the TIPS market. And that's, we don't have to get inside in, you know, in into the weeds of that, but you look at that line, it's coming down, right? And it actually, it looked like it was going to break out for a while, and now it's coming back down. And the shipping containers, which I mentioned earlier, are shown in the bottom panel. And you see that those are coming down indeed. But what the markets are saying is that part of the inflation story is transitory. And the reason that is because on a rate of change basis, if the CPI goes up, you know, it's not going to go up in a straight line. At some point, the rate of change starts coming down. And that's what the markets, which are forward-looking, are saying. And I think in a way, what the markets are saying is that with the Fed now raising rates pretty aggressively, the risk or the conversation is starting to move away from inflation and more towards growth, meaning will the Fed raise rates so much that it will break something, and hopefully it breaks inflation, but maybe it also breaks the economy. And that, I think, is becoming part of the story that a lot of us are talking about in the markets.
Yeah. So, all right. So you're talking about, say that the market's focus is shifting away from these inflation worries, or hopefully breaking that, and more towards growth worries. So let's dig into that a little bit more. What are you watching in terms of earnings and what it will mean for the risk of recession?
Yeah. So earnings is the big conversation right now. And we are actually on the cusp of second quarter earnings season, right? So every 3 months, the earnings get reported for the companies in the stock market, and it usually starts at around the second week into a new quarter, which is basically where we are now. So we're going to be in full-on earnings season mode. I'm sure next week we're going to be talking about that. But for the markets, it's useful to deconstruct the market return into three buckets, right? One is dividends, and those don't change very much. So that's about 2%. The other one is growth in earnings, which is the yellow bars in the chart. And the third one is the change in the PE ratio, right? So if you think about the stock market, what drives the return? It's dividends plus earnings plus the change in what investors are willing to pay for those earnings. And when times are, you know, when confidence is high and earnings growth is steady and you were in a, you know, in a mid-cycle type of economy, investors generally are more confident and therefore are more willing to pay up for more future years of earnings. But when you go into late cycle, which is where we are now, and then, you know, potentially at some point even a recession, which is not a prediction, but, you know, those do happen sometimes, investors become a lot less willing to pay for those earnings, A, because the earnings may not be there, or B, because the just confidence levels are lower. So what we're seeing in this chart is a very clear peaking of earnings growth. Now, earnings is, growth is still positive. It's plenty positive. It's about plus 20% right now. And the expectation is for earnings to grow at 10% this year, even despite all of these recession fears that are so prevalent right now. And so that's still a bullish underpinning for the market. But what we've seen is as interest rates have risen, investors are less willing to pay for those earnings. So, excuse me. So what you see is in the blue bars is that rate of change in the PE ratio has come down a lot. So it's down 35% from a year ago. And so when you have contracting PE ratios and slowing earnings growth, it's just harder for the market to go up a lot. And that's why we've kind of been in the crosshairs of those two. So so the focus really is about, will the earnings growth remain positive, which would be pretty normal in this state of the economic cycle, or will it actually flip negative? And then we have a whole other, you know, situation going.
Okay. All right. So, Leanna, I'm going to now turn to you. We mentioned earlier a question we keep hearing about, how long can this last? Can you help us understand what the business cycle is and where we are right now in it?
Yeah, we have an amazing research team at Fidelity where the business cycle framework is really part of our core philosophy. And we help educate our clients on how we navigate where we are in the economy and also how we manage portfolios for our clients using this business cycle framework. So it comes up a lot. What is the business cycle? So it's really a measure of the health of our economy. And it's a collection of the stages that an economy goes through as it expands, slows down, and contracts. So you can see a visual here up on the screen. It's showing a trend line that's showing the health of our economy through GDP, gross domestic product. So we use the business cycle as we believe it's a key influencer of stock and bond returns over time. And we believe having a disciplined investment strategy, no matter where we are in the business cycle, is extremely important. So there are four phases. Again, you can see here, early, mid, late, and recession. And every cycle is different when we go through all four, but there are certain patterns that tend to repeat over time. And again, helps put us in a position of strength. So as Urien mentioned, we believe we are in the late cycle. And that's when we're seeing economic activity often reaches its peak. It's still implying growth, but we're seeing things slow. So where we started this is we're in a bear market, as you mentioned earlier. And that's when we're seeing a decline of at least 20% from the market high point to low. That can happen in any phase of where we are in the business cycle. But, you know, this paired with being in the late phase has investors naturally a little bit worried. So we really help our clients. First, we want to understand what's most important to you, your family, your financial needs. We're going to create a sound, diversified portfolio in an allocation that's aligned to your goals and needs. And we're also going to have a lens as to where we are in the economy so you can help you stay invested and disciplined in that strategy.
Yeah. So it's really good to understand that overall cycle. But, you know, thinking about it, when you talk about that temptation to sell, especially during this time, it can be really strong for some investors, Leanna.
It can, and we certainly understand it's stressful, it's emotional, it's our relationship with our money. But selling your accounts in a bear market, it's really almost, it's never a good idea as the markets are going down. But for some clients, it has been an opportunity to uncover what your true risk tolerance is. So in some of our conversations, we may be moving a little bit more conservative on the risk scale, or maybe we're being a little bit more defensive in our approach. I think it's always a good idea to talk to your advisor or planner to make sure that that current allocation is appropriate to meet your objectives. Again, regardless of where we are in the economy, regardless of the market environment, we want to make sure that you have that sound plan. Back to that business cycle conversation, depending what phase we are in, we believe that you can make some subtle tweaks as some of those opportunities. So right now in the late phase, we're also in a high inflationary period as we started the conversation today. You can make subtle tweaks of where you overweight and underweight. So for example, this visual showing commodities or treasury inflation protected securities do well in high inflationary environments. These are all, again, areas where we can help. So if you're tempted to make that change or feeling that stress, I'd really encourage you to reach out to your financial planner and just, again, make sure that you have that appropriate investment strategy for you.
Yeah. So Leanna, in that last phase, and as you said, to be reaching out, it definitely does feel empowering to many to be in that protection mode when we can. So what else could we be looking at in this type of environment?
There's really two ways that we can be proactive during times like this. So first, we talk a lot on the show about rebalancing. And the second, we'll talk about for taxable accounts, something you could do is called tax loss harvesting, a strategy for tax management. So the first one, rebalancing, that's really a mechanism to help manage your risk. And in its simplest terms, it's making sure that your allocation stays intact. It does not shift. So it is that old school buy low, sell high. But as the market's volatile, you might be buying stocks as the market's dropping, all again to keep in line with that allocation appropriate for you. If the market is very accommodating, it's selling stocks at a high, again, to stay in line with that appropriate allocation. So we believe in having that well-diversified mix of stocks, bonds, and short-term investments consistent to your time frame, your goals, your risk tolerance, your whole financial picture. Rebalancing is a way to be proactive and do that.
Yeah. And I would just add to that, if you're investing through a 401k, you know, you're doing that already, right? I mean, so the nice thing about dollar cost averaging, which is what we do in a 401k, is that you're always buying a little bit of the market on an ongoing basis. So pardon my voice. So you're never buying high. You're never selling low or buying high or buying high or selling low. You're always just kind of, you know, rebalancing into the markets.
Yeah. And clients so often, just before we get to tax loss harvesting, they will always ask, well, what can we be doing? How can we be proactive in these times? And it's nothing shiny by any means, but rebalancing again really is that mechanism to help manage risk. And more importantly, make sure your portfolio does not shift or get disaligned into what your goals are. So second part is tax loss harvesting. Again, just another way that we can be being proactive. So tax loss harvesting, a little bit of jargon there, but this really allows you to sell your investments in taxable accounts. So thinking your brokerage, non-retirement accounts, it's selling investments that are down, replacing them with similar investments to really offset those gains and losses. So no one wants to sell when you're down, but again, it's that mechanism to keep staying invested, but it reduces your tax liability later on by being able to net these gains and losses over time. So some will ask, well, what if I don't have any gains right now? Can I harvest losses and keep them? You can. You can actually harvest those losses now and offset your income or offset future gains. So today's tax rules for income, it allows you to write off $3,000 a year if you're a joint tax filer in a year. So the end result, again, is that less of your money is going to taxes and more is staying invested and working for you. Why this is so important, there's a visual here on the screen. Morningstar does a study every year, and on average, this is showing over almost 100 years, investors give up 2 percentage points a year annually, so obviously, to taxes. So overlooking that potential impact is not the greatest idea. This is where tax loss harvesting can help. So again, if I'd encourage you, if you have taxable accounts or brokerage accounts, this is where we can help.
Yeah, Leanna, thanks so much. That's great information, both on rebalancing and the tax loss harvesting. Really appreciate that. So as we're thinking about those bear markets and what comes next, Urien, does a bear market always mean recession? And what are you watching as indicators?
Yeah, so it doesn't. There are two kinds of of bear markets. And just to show you that I did my homework, this shows every bear market since 1871. And there, I believe, have been 27 of them, which is about once every 5 years. So they do happen. They do happen, you know, maybe more often than we would like. But despite those bear markets, if we wait long enough and are disciplined and patient, we do end up getting a decent return over time. But so we can separate bear markets into two kinds, ones that are associated with recessions. By definition, those tend to produce declines in earnings. And the other ones are ones that are not associated with recessions. And those are, there are fewer of them. Most of the bear markets are recession bear markets, but not all of them, especially in the last few decades where the economic cycle has been more moderated. So the non-recession bear markets tend to see earnings still grow, which is what we've seen so far, right? The market's down 25%, but earnings are growing at least 10%. Those I call non-recession bears. And by definition, they are only based on a valuation reset. So in that previous chart, I showed the blue bars and the yellow bars. So when the market goes down without earnings going down, it's all the PE coming down. The average bear market for those occurrences is around 22%, sorry. And we've gone down 25%. So we're fully in line with a non-recession bear, as we should be, because we're not in a recession. I mean, people are worried about a recession, but there's very little evidence to suggest that we are in a recession or that one is imminent. You know, you look at just the employment report from last week, still over 300,000 jobs added. You know, that does not happen in a recession. Okay, so we need to kind of keep our expectations a little bit in check. But recession bear markets tend to see a decline of 35%, non-recession 22%. And so that is a big difference, right? But again, you know, coming back to what you were saying earlier and what Leanna was saying, we may have a recession, but if it's already priced in, it may not actually have that much of an impact anymore on the market. So as investors, one of the tricky things is not only do we have to figure out what's going to happen? But we also have to see how much of that is already priced in. And so, for instance, this goes back a long time, but in 1990, we had the savings and loan crisis, and we had a banking recession in the fall of 1990. And by the time the recession officially was considered to have started, the market had already bottomed and was already going up. And so it's not as simple as saying, oh, I think we're going to have a recession, so I'm going to sell everything. It's not, you know, the market's way, way too smart for that. So it doesn't really work that way. But if we do end up in a recession and earnings do go down, chances are the market would go down with it. And then it's a question of how much of that is priced in. And so if the S&P has already fallen 25%, and the average recession bear market is 35%, that means mathematically that the market has already priced in about three quarters of that scenario, right? So 25 divided by 35. So not 100% priced in, but mostly priced in. So they're just different things to keep in mind as we watch and see how the economy unfolds in the months ahead, as the Fed keeps raising rates, and as people start to speculate about, you know, if and when a recession will happen.
All right. Well, Jurjen, thanks so much for all those indicators. That was really helpful. And Leanna, thanks so much for all the information that you shared as part of this conversation. Now, for our audience, our regular reminders, if you have questions about making a financial plan or staying on track, Fidelity can help. You can always go and call us, go online to our website, or download Fidelity's app to learn more. And as a reminder, Market Sense is now a podcast, so you can listen on your commute or on a walk, really anywhere nowadays. Just search on Market Sense wherever you get your podcasts, I should say, and you'll be able to follow us. You can add us to your personal library and never miss a moment of any of these conversations. So again, a huge thanks to Fidelity's Jurjen Timmer and Leanna Deviney. I'm Colleen Rolfe, and Jim Armstrong will be back next week. So we look forward to seeing him as well as you then. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Information presented herein is for discussion and illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Views expressed are as of the date indicated based on the information available at that time and may change based on market and other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliate. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. To the extent any investment information in this material is deemed to be a recommendation, it is not meant to be impartial investment advice or advice in a fiduciary capacity and is not intended to be used as a primary basis for you or your client's investment decisions. Fidelity and its representatives may have a conflict of interest in the products or services mentioned in this material because they have a financial interest in them and receive compensation, directly or indirectly, in connection with the management, distribution, or servicing of these products or services, including Fidelity funds, certain third-party funds and products, and certain investment services. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is a copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future result. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Diversification and/or asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against loss. Stock markets are volatile and can fluctuate significantly in response to company, industry, political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Investing in stock involves risk, including the loss of principal. Foreign markets can be more volatile than U.S. markets due to increased risks for adverse issuer, political, market, or economic developments, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. These risks are particularly significant for investments that focus on a single country or region. In general, the bond market is volatile, and fixed income securities carry interest rate risk. As interest rates rise, bond prices usually fall and vice versa. This effect is usually more pronounced for longer-term securities. Fixed income securities also carry inflation risk, liquidity risk, call risk, and credit and default risks for both issuers and counterparties. Lower quality fixed income securities involve greater risk of default or price changes due to potential changes in the credit quality of the issuer. Foreign investments involve greater risk than U.S. investments and can decline significantly in response to adverse issuer, political, regulatory, market, and economic risk. Any fixed income security sold or redeemed prior to maturity may be subject to loss. The commodities industry can be significantly affected by commodity prices, world events, import controls, worldwide competition, government regulations, and economic conditions. Advisory services offered by Fidelity Personal and Workplace Advisors LLC, FPWA, a registered investment advisor. These services are provided for a fee. Fidelity Managed Accounts refer to the discretionary portfolio management services provided by Strategic Advisors LLC, Strategic Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Brokerage services provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, FBS, and custodial and related services provided by National Financial Services LLC, NFS, each a member NYSE and SIPC. FPWA, FBS, and NFS are Fidelity Investments companies. Fidelity does not provide legal or tax advice. The information herein is general and educational in nature and should not be considered legal or tax advice. Tax laws and regulations are complex and subject to change, which can materially impact investment results. Fidelity cannot guarantee that the information herein is accurate, complete, or timely. Fidelity makes no warranties with regard to such information or results obtained by its use and disclaims any liability arising out of your use of or any tax position taken in reliance on such information. Consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific situation. Personal and workplace investment products are provided by Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.